The Rugby Union World Cup. Expert opinion, live in-play betting calls and weekly podcasts exclusive to William Hill.
This is William Hill's Rugby Union podcast. I'm Michael Casey and I'm joined by Jeff Probyn as we look ahead to the quarter-final stage of the tournament. There is, of course, no English involvement, unfortunately, as we head into this weekend's quarter-finals, but four scintillating prospects in store for us. Jeff, an interesting round of last games last week, and it was nice to see England finally win one, I guess.
Yeah. Well, they were always going to beat Uruguay. I did say 70 points, and they got the 60. Perhaps if they kicked all their conversions, they would have reached the 70, and we would have been on the winning bet. But it was some good style played by England. They produced a game, the first game really they played in the tournament, where they concentrated, and even so, there were still errors in it. You know, we can't really complain that England have been knocked out. And the good news is that both Ireland, Wales and Scotland appear to be playing some good rugby, and that gives them a good shot for these quarterfinals.
Yeah, delighted to see all the other home nations doing so well, even if Lancaster's troops haven't managed to quite pull through. We'll talk about one of the home nations just briefly, because Ireland, of course, they played France last weekend in a game that was very important in relation to the quarterfinals. Obviously, Ireland won the game and they are going to see themselves take on Argentina on Sunday, whereas France lost out and they have the All Blacks on Saturday night. However, it wasn't without casualty for Ireland, was it?
No, it wasn't. And losing Paul O'Connell is obviously a major blow. He's been such an icon for that team. But having said that, you know, the young players who came in with the emergence, and also when Sexton got injured and Madigan stepped up, these players stepped up to the plate and they performed. And they performed at a level that actually gives a lot of encouragement for Ireland. You know, they're going into this game, they'll be sad about losing Sean O'Brien. But one aspect is that they will, and Paul O'Connell, obviously, but one aspect is that they will know that these young players are capable of playing at the highest level. They've stepped up to the plate, they've delivered, and they produced a result against France that was really quite stunning.
They certainly did, and came through the game very well at the end. But we'll go through this weekend's games then, and we'll start chronologically as I want to do so. And to Twickenham, we have South Africa versus Wales at 4 o'clock. Kickoff. Wales very much the outsiders for this game, despite obviously winning the last time these two sides locked horns. A 5-2 Wales, 1-3 South Africa for the Welsh. They've made three changes to the starting lineup last week. Interestingly, up front, Gethin Jenkins and Dan Lydiate both into the starting lineup. So a little bit of a mix around up front. And South Africa are given a 9-point head start on the handicap betting, Jeff, at 10-11. How would you call this one going at Twickenham?
Well, I think that, you know, you bookies have got it right again. I think South Africa will win it. Unfortunately for the Welsh, the injuries that they've had, I mean, they're playing George North in the centre. He's doing good, but he's not a natural centre. He's not been playing there often enough to play instinctively. And when he comes against the likes of Jesse Creel, it's going to be difficult for him. The South Africans won't be worried about the physical game that Wales play. With George North and Jamie Roberts, they look forward to that sort of conflict and contrast. And you just think that they've got a little bit too much for this Welsh side, particularly because of the injuries. I think that, you know, the likes of the Larue at fullback with Peterson and Habana on the wing, and as I say, Creel playing in the centre, they've got a strong back line, and their back row with Berger and Lowe and Villemont is one of the strongest in the groups, you know, so I just think that this would be one game too much for the Welsh.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue against the South Africans. I mean, following that opening weekend of the tournament defeat to Japan down in Brighton, they have looked pretty all-conquering. And you do highlight that Wales have been a side, it seems to have been a little bit of a theme of the tournament, that have been massively hampered by their injuries. So you'd be predicting that South Africa can cover this handicap of 9 points. Where would you maybe look for the winning margin, Jeff? What sort of score are you envisaging for this one?
I think it will be something like 30 points to 18, so a 12-point margin for the South Africans, between a 12 and 15-point margin for the South Africans.
Interesting, there's two bets you could look at here. South Africa by 11 to 15 points is a very tasty 5-1, or for a little bit more safety, you can bat the Springboks to win it by 13 or more points. So be it, you know, be it 13 or be it 300, your bet would land there. And that's 6-4.
I think I'll go for the 5-1.
Right, okay, big price there for 11 to 15 point win for South Africa. We mentioned a little bit of the team news for Wales, but we have got full team news in, and prices for first, last, anytime, two or more, or even a hat-trick try scorer. There's obviously some pretty prolific try scorers within this South African side, but Wales, of course, have a team full of attacking talent, particularly, you mentioned, obviously, George North playing his trade. Actually back on the wing this week with Tyler Morgan slotting in at 13. Is there any particular players that you fancy for an anytime score, or indeed a first or last try scorer, Jeff?
Well, I think the way he's been playing and the way that he sneaks over, you've got to look at Davis as the number nine, as a potential Gareth Davis getting a try. He's you know, he's been there or thereabouts in every game. He sneaked over last week. He's got a good snipe about him. He's playing good rugby. If anyone will score for the Welsh, I think he'll do it. I think he'll, you know, one of the aspects about the Welsh and the Australia game was they tried too much to punch away with their forwards. They'll play a bit wider. That could open up the space for Davis.
4-1 if you fancy Gareth Davis. You are indeed right. And Warren Gatland's side come under a bit of criticism in the fact they weren't able to break down Australia, even when they were juiced to 13 men. And to that end, Jeff, would there be any Springbok players that you'd like a look at as a try scorer? Of course, Brian Habana, favourite in the market at 13-8.
I'd have a look at Berger.
Yeah,
Scott Berger, because I mean he's there in the back row. He's the wise old man nowadays, but he still gets himself around. He's still there thereabouts, and you know, they will play a forward game. They will expect that they can beat these Welsh forwards, and I expect South Africa to really attack them up front and use a lot of power plays. You might get, and from that you'll get opportunities for the likes of Abana and Roo and Creel as well. I think Jesse Creel's an outside bet as a back to score, so he'd be one of my favourites. But Berger, I'd put down as a forward scorer.
Big price for Schaltberg if you fancy it at 5-1, and Jesse Creel, the midfielder, is in the betting at 9-4. And then later on Saturday evening, we've got the All Blacks in action against France, against their bogey team. However, the bookies not predicting any upset on Saturday night, Jeff, at the Millennium Stadium. New Zealand are 1-6 favourites for victory. It's 5-1 for France and 25-1 the draw. Do you think that New Zealand are going to lay to rest? I mean, obviously, they did win the World Cup final against France 4 years ago, but prior to that, and I mean, you could even argue, had refereeing decisions gone the other way, that they maybe wouldn't have won the final, but do you think that New Zealand might justify the Tigers' favourite on Saturday night?
Well, I'm actually going to go for the French. I'm sorry to say this, but they've got a bulky side. They're balled in Dumoulin, or whatever his name is, in the centre instead of Bastereau. So they've changed the way they're playing the game. They've got a good attacking back line there, and you know they're good and strong. They've got Tsunami in the front row. He's going to be powerful. The All Blacks haven't looked that good in the scrums, in the set pieces. The French have got a big, powerful pack, and you know, Picamole's as good as Reed at carrying the ball. And from that point of view, I can see that France could cause an upset in this. We always say this, the same old thing with France. If the right French team turns up, they will win this game. And I feel that this is the game that they've been focusing on. This is the game that, in a way, France won. And they may want it just that little bit more than the All Blacks.
Wow, well, the prices are definitely there to reward you if you think that France can pull something off. I think I have to agree with you in as far as, you know, if you are going to take a punt on an outsider, you want a side that can generate a bit of magic. And say what you want about Philippe Saint-André, when his side do get it together, they are magic to watch. You reference Alexandre Dumoulin there, and he is playing at outside centre instead of Bastereau this weekend, which for me, you know, it does give a bit more creativity for them, like you said. He may well end up turning provider rather than a touchdown scorer, but he's 5-1 in the betting if you fancied a little bit of that. But I want to know, Jeff, just how confident are you on the front? There's two bets to be had. First and foremost, you can bat them to win the game at 5-1. However, if you're not quite as confident, you could perhaps look at the handicap betting. France given a 12-point head start, and that's a 10-11 shot, France plus 12.
Well, that's, I mean, you know, if I think they're winning, that's a good bet as well, isn't it? You know, because I don't expect France to let us down this much. I mean, I think the game last week against Ireland, they didn't really play. The French didn't turn up, and they don't tend to do that 2 weeks on the trot. So I think that the French will turn up this week. There'll be a good, strong performance. I expect them to win, but if they lose, it'll be a close game.
And if you were going to put a selection out there as an anytime try scorer, Jeff, who might you be leaning towards, either side?
Well, Fofana, obviously, or Dunning. Dunning, he's playing the wing, so I'd look at him.
Bryce Doolan is priced up at 4-1, and Wesley Fofana 3-1. They're all very much bigger prices than the Kiwi outside backs. You know, if you're backing Julian Surveyor, who's backing the side this week, you're only getting paid out at 5-4 now. I mean, you look at his international scoring record, that's not so bad.
Good Scudder as well. He's
6-4, so not a massive price either. I mean, the rewards are certainly there for backing along the Irish side. The French side of the line.
The French. We're getting as bad as each other. We're both saying Irish, Welsh, French, Scottish, whatever it is. But I tell you what, the big thing is that the French will score tries. The New Zealanders, even if they win this game, they do leak a little bit. They have this ability to be able to keep playing relentlessly. So even if they go behind, they pull back and come for it. So France will have the opportunity to score tries. These outside backs for the French are well worth betting a bit on, because, you know, you will get a return from it.
And I mean, if you wanted to, obviously we do have the full side here for France. You could split your stakes across a couple of them. I mean, you've referenced obviously Bryce Doolan and Wesley Fofana there, priced up at 4-1 and 3-1 respectively. The back three for France is Scott Spedding, Noah Nakiatake, and Bryce Doolan. Nakiatake is 5-2, Bryce Doolan 4-1, Scott Spedding 5-1. If you place your bets, you know, with a bit of clever pricing structure, you could end up being in profit even with three bets running for you. So it could be something to look at and consider. If we jump over to Sunday then, and the third game of the weekend, and with regards to how it's priced up, the bookies think this is going to be the most hotly contested of the four weekend's fixtures. It's Ireland versus Argentina, of course. We don't have confirmed team news for this yet, but Ireland will have had their hand forced slightly with regards to selection for the injury issues that we mentioned at the top of the podcast. It's 8-15 the Irish, 7-4 the Argentinians. The draw's 20-1. The handicap just 4 points, Jeff.
Yeah, it's going to be a close game, but I think the Irish will win it. I think that they've got enough momentum behind them now. And as I say, despite the fact that the injuries that they incurred last week, and of course Sean O'Brien's little lapse, shall we say.
could call it that.
Yeah, could call it a little lapse. You know, they've got a bit of momentum behind them, and I think Joel Smith has got them playing some good rugby. And the players that have come in stepped up to the plate. I expect them to beat Argentina, despite the fact that Argentina knocked them out of the World Cups in 1999 and 2007. You know, the last five games that have been played, Ireland have won those five games, so Ireland have a bit of pedigree going into this, and I expect them to produce a result. And maybe 10 points in Ireland's favour.
Well, there'll be a decent price there. Obviously, Ireland minus 4 at 10-11 would fall into a 10-point victory. You can also look towards the winning margin live, and there's a couple of bets there. Ireland at 1-12 points is 5-4. However, if you narrow that down a bit and go along your line of thinking and go Ireland to win the game by 6-10 points, you'd be getting paid out 5-1, Jeff.
Well, I seem to be doing well with the 5-1 bids, don't I?
Well, we'll be doing well if they all land. That's certainly true.
If they all land, yeah. But, you know, I think that'll be it. I think that Argentina obviously improved having played in the championship now, and they've upped their rugby. But you just get the feeling that Ireland are doing something special in this World Cup. They've had a good run into it. It's been quite an easy run for them in the way that the pool worked out for them. They had their final game. They had that game against France last week, which was a cracking game, despite the fact that the injuries, the players that came on showed their worth, showed their quality. And, you know, they have the strength in depth. They have a squad that's performing as the squad should do. And they will miss Paul O'Connell, there is no doubt about that, but they'll miss him in for his leadership qualities. But they've got some good young players there who are coming through. They've got some experience, the experienced players like Heaslip and guys like that. And they'll be around. And, you know, last week you got it right. I said that Rob Kinney would score a try. He did. He'll probably score a try this week as well. It's, you know, this is it's that sort of... I think they've got that sort of momentum going in their favour.
Sure. So would Rob Kinney perhaps be your selection as an anytime try scorer again this weekend?
Yeah, he would be. You know, he's a powerful player. He comes in, you know, and he follows up well. He's a good runner, and he's also good at taking those short little pops or just off the side of the breakdown. So, you know, as he did last week, it was a good try.
Certainly was. So, Rob Kinney, we're just waiting, obviously, for confirmation on the team news before we have full prices available for the try scorer markets. However, Rob Kinney likely to be towards the top of the betting for Ireland. But if last weekend's performance was anything to go off, he looks a value play regardless. The final game of the weekend then, and you'd have to say Vern Cotter's lot are going to be up against it. It is Australia versus Scotland. Scotland are 7-1 outsiders versus 1-10 Australia. The handicap, Jeff, is 16 points. How do you call this one?
Well, you know, sadly for Scotland as well, they've lost the two players in Fould and Gray. They're appealing it, but reality says that if they're lucky, they'll get it reduced to 1 week, which will mean they will still miss this game. And Scotland just don't have the strength in depth. They've got one of the smallest playing bases. And the Australians have put together their game. They're playing well. Yes, all right, Scotland won the last game that was played in Scotland against Australia, which was in 2012, where they won 9-6. But this is a different Australia side. Sadly, I can't see Scotland winning it. I can't, as much as I'd want them to, you see, it'd be another Northern Hemisphere team going through to the quarter semi-finals. I just think that Australia are going to have too much for them.
Yeah, I think I'd have to agree with you. I've been nothing but impressed by Australia across the board since the start of this tournament. And whilst Australia's game against Samoa in the final pool match was very entertaining, and we finally saw Samoa actually, you know, play a bit of the rugby that we like and we love about the South Sea Islanders, it was a little bit too little too late. And fair play to Scotland for coming through that test. However, I thought there was some glaring errors that made across the piece, yeah, including their ability to deal with restarts was very alarming. You take the fact that Johnny Gray may not be involved this weekend, and that surely only heightens that as an area that would be of concern for Vern Cotter's troops. And you know, Australia, for me, I think they could be the ones to watch to win this tournament.
There's also that argument that if you look at that game against Samoa, the only reason that you could argue that the reason Samoa put in a performance that was what we like to see is because of Scotland's deficiencies in terms of shutting it down. And, you know, the Australians are better than the Samoan players. So, you know, Scotland are up against it in this game. And, you know, they've had heroic efforts all the way through. But Scotland were relieved at the end when Laidlaw kicked that ball off for that final whistle. Because, you know, it was that close that Samoa could have came back and won that. And the fact that they didn't and Scotland remain in this contest is a great tribute to that Scottish team and Vern Cotter and what he's done for it. Sadly, I think this is one game too far for them. You know, particularly as the Australians have got Pocock and that back in their side, they're just going to be a bit too strong for the Scotland side. I expect that Australia will top that 16 points easily. I think that they'll probably win this by 20, 25 points.
I have to say, I do agree with you there, Jeff. I mean, 21-25, we're going even bigger than the 6-1, sorry, than the 5-1 at 6-1 for that to be the winning margin live. For me, I quite like the bet of Australia just to win it by 13 or more points, which is, it's 8-15, which is skinny, but I just think that they've been.
It's a safe bet.
It is a safe bet for me, because I just think that Scotland are going to really come undone, unfortunately, on Sunday evening. Again, we are waiting on team news for the clash, but if you are looking at try scorers, I guess your likes of Israel Folau, your likes of Adam Ashley Cooper are going to be high on your list, Jeff, and you wouldn't be too keen on many Scottish.
No, but you know, on the Scottish side, you always got to look at Hogg. He's one of those players. I say it every time when he's playing. He is a world-class player. He does excite you. He does offer a challenge. You know, I think he tweaked a hamstring last week, but I think he'll be all right for this game. You've got to look at him because he does offer so much in terms of his attack. He's got good pace. He's got good vision. In some ways, he's a bit wasted behind the Scottish team, but he does get out there. So I always think of him as a potential player. With the Australians, you know, you've got to look at Foley scoring again. I mean, the way he played against England, and he scored the tries, he kicked the points. He's got to be somewhere in the betting for another try-scoring game, and this is an ideal game for him.
I agree. I think also you mentioned him earlier. I'd have a look at David Pocock, because I think if the Aussies can get their driving line out going, he's likely to be at the base of that. And I think that maybe Mark Bennett might be worth a shout for Scotland. I've been impressed by him this tournament, even if we're not expecting Scotland to get too much joy offensively. As I said earlier, prices for the anytime try scores will drop onto the console very shortly upon announcement of the team news. So, Jeff, I want to finish off by asking you, I guess, the ultimate question. I know that you've been very keen on South Africa's tournament chances since the off, and as we referenced earlier, they do seem to have just got stronger as the tournament has gone on. But have you budged at all in who you think is going to lift the William Webb Ellis trophy at the end of the month?
No, I'm still sticking with South Africa. I think that, you know, that, if you like, the kick up the pants from Japan has seemed to kickstart this South Africa team. They have started to produce some good performances. They're up to the levels where we expect them to be. You know, playing against Wales is going to be a challenge for them, but I think they'll, as I've said, I think they'll win it. If France do beat New Zealand, you know, the only obstacle for South Africa then is Australia. And I think that South Africa are strong enough to beat the Australians.
Well, they're 5-1 to win the World Cup. Australia 2-1, which is an absolute collapse in price, given the back on the back of some impressive showings this tournament. Jeff, well, I look forward to speaking to you next weekend ahead of the semi-final stage, and let's hope that we've got some winning selections.
Yeah, and let's hope we've still got some Northern Hemisphere teams to back.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.